The Nature Stories podcast, where people and place intersect.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the 286-horsepower TL Type S with a solar sensing climate control system. Learn more at Acura.com.
You're listening to the Nature Stories podcast. I'm Samantha Brown. This podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. This week, more stories from the heart of the land, a new public radio series which considers the connection between people and the natural world. Here's series host Jay Allison.
In our next story, produced by the Kitchen Sisters, a man is linked to place in the most emphatic and literal way possible by a chain, an actual chain, locked to a rock. What makes a man do such a thing? In this case, it's a river.
Northeast of San Francisco, near Sonora, a young man is holding back an entire river by holding himself hostage. He's going against a force even more formidable than nature, the federal government, and he vows to stay where he is until he's sure he's won.
Now, the Stanislaus. The Stanislaus River Canyon. I just fell in love immediately with the magic of this place. I remember seeing a map of California rivers. The Stanislaus was the last major river without a major stifling dam. All I knew was that if they were going to try to flood this place, I have to stand in this path. I'm Marc Dubois. 1970, I got to be a river guide.
At the time, being a river guide was a lifestyle, and the community was built around river running. I'm John Cassidy, and I started Klutz Press. We would say, this summer we're going to be on the river, and that meant, I think of Kesey, on the bus. It's a mental state. I bought a sequin suit from a pearly queen. It was a community of young people, and we all just fell in love with it and fell in love with each other, and there was Marc Dubois serving as a tent pole for the whole circus. He was bringing in so many different people to the river. He's a pure spirit. He's John Muir crossed with Pecos Bill.
The Army Corps of Engineers says the new Malones Dam on California's Stanislaus River is necessary for flood control and hydroelectric power.
But the same moment you fell in love with this river and this place, you discovered that she was terminal and that the stretch that we had just learned to love was slated for destruction. We all suddenly went from apolitical hippies to placard-carrying, signature-gathering activists.
That was the beginning of me being swept into river politics. It was going to be the 13th dam on the river. They had wiped out the salmon flows with these smaller dams. I was still doing the trips, but I was now doing the statewide initiative to save this river. And we had to gather a 500,000 signatures of registered voters, try to write letters to, you know, and I couldn't even write to my grandmother, right? So here's what to write to somebody important. Suddenly it was my whole life.
My name is Donald O'Shea, Colonel in the Army Corps of Engineers. I was district engineer responsible for design and construction of the new Malones Dam. When I arrived, the political situation was tense. Governor Brown had campaigned against the project. He was at his smallest beautiful phase. And there had been a statewide proposition which approved the project. But nevertheless, there was a great deal of opposition, both from the state government and also from environmental and other groups, particularly the Friends of the River.
I'm Don Briggs. I've been involved with Friends of the River since 73. I became the national media coordinator. You could not be around Marc and not be affected. His desire to just save a river. Toward the end of the campaign, when we'd run out of all options, Marc decided it was time for him to make a personal statement. He had been working within the system for 10 years, and we always got beat down.
Wednesday night at 10 o'clock, my colleague comes in and goes, Marc, the water's going to be up by Monday morning. It's going to be flooding 808 elevation. I was in a sheer panic. And at the time, I had not a clue what I could do. But at that moment, I knew I could not walk away from this place.
He decided that he was going to chain himself to a rock in a hidden location. At this time, the waters were coming up. They were slowly but surely coming up.
I had no idea how you attach yourself to a rock. I go to the hardware store and I said, we've got a piece of mining equipment and there's no trees around. How do you attach it so that nobody could get it out of the bedrock?
He sent a letter off to Colonel O'Shea.
Mark advised us in writing that he was chaining himself to a rock in the reservoir area at an undisclosed location. If we started flooding the project, he would drown, and therefore his blood would be on our hands.
Mark set out this fairly elaborate plan, and he had another guy. We called him Deep Paddle, after the famous Deep Throat. At night, Deep Paddle would go in and take in a message and bring out a message.
The Corps of Engineers sent out search parties, but couldn't find Mark DuBois. In Sacramento, pressure mounted. Conservationists demonstrated. Governor Brown sided with them.
Helicopters and motorboats were cruising by. The great part about this place that I had found, not only could I look at the petroglyphs right across the way, but a huge buckeye tree in full bloom, these big spears of white flowers that are intoxicatingly sweet. Here I was chained in the magic of the canyon, but Don Briggs was chained to a phone.
My telephone rang for about 36 straight hours. There were reporters clamoring. CBS, Walter Cronkite's people, they said, we want to go in and see Mark. The correspondent, in the dark of night, in a black leather jacket and black shoes, probably had never set foot on dirt in his entire life. He kept asking me about that noise. You can hear white water out there. He says, I thought you said it was going to be flat water. The stars were out, and the tree toads were going crazy.
Early this morning, after a two-hour raft trip along the Stanislaus, we found Mark DuBois, chained and padlocked to a rock 2 feet from the water.
He was there with like a serape around his shoulders, 6'8", Friends of the River t-shirt on, homemade sandals, like those ones you get in Mexico made out of old tires. That's all he had. And Mark would make him himself, size 15 on a huge feet. He'd been there for about maybe 4 days.
DuBois welcomed the news that the Corps had stopped raising the water level.
I'm really glad to hear that, and so, yeah, I'd be very anxious to come out if that is the agreement.
But you won't come out of here until you see it in writing?
Yeah, for sure.
You remember we told you about Mark DuBois on Friday after he chained himself to a rock near the edge of California's Stanislaus River. He was protesting an Army Corps of Engineers plan to raise the water level. Well, he unchained himself today after seeing a written agreement that the governor's office will monitor the water level.
After all this publicity, the Army Corps of Engineers stopped filling the reservoir at that time. But in the end, we lost. It took them a couple years, but they flooded the Stanislaus River.
We were right at this cusp of the beginning of the environmental movement and the end of the dam building era. And unfortunately, we weren't able to stop it all the way. We failed.
Mark was the head of the Friends of the River. He loved the river. He conducted, I thought, a very impressive campaign. Of course, being a colonel in the U.S. Army, my personal opinion was neither sought nor valued. To be very candid, I was somewhat ambivalent about this project and similar projects. I saw both sides of the issue, but I was obviously committed to the side that was following the law of the land in getting the project done.
There is now only a hint of what the Stanislaus used to be. Last year, there were 9 miles of wild river, whitewater. Soon, there will be none. The river used to have 14, Devil's Staircase, Chicken Falls, Razorback, and Mother.
After the loss of the Stanislaus, Mark just enlarged his vision, really. That's when he went global. The International River Network has spent the last 20 years on battles in rivers around the world.
I fell in love with this one river, and it just kept taking me further and further afield. At some point, I was in Washington, I saw this quote on a wall, and it said, when you try to select any one thing out, you find it hitched to everything else in the universe. John Muir.
Now you say you're lonely.
That story about Mark DuBois was produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, with Martha Hamm. And it was mixed by Jim McKee. The piece comes from our series Stories from the Heart of the Land, produced by Atlantic Public Media. This podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. You can find out more on the podcast and the series at nature.org. Our music is composed and performed by Bill Frisell. Join me next week to hear a piece about being exiled from a landscape you can see from your window. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown.